Welcome to The Expert Vet. I'm Tracy Hotchner, here with my co-host, Dr. Donna Spector in Chicago, who is The Expert Vet. She's a board-certified veterinary internist here to help explain medical conditions in dogs and cats. If you'd like to hear more episodes of this show or any of the Pet Talk radio shows I co-host with experts, please go to RadioPetLady.com and visit the podcast libraries. The Expert Vet is a production of Pet Media, Inc. and Dr. Donna Spector, which are solely responsible for its content. I also produce the Dog Film Festival, which celebrates the love between dogs and their people and the rescue groups that bring them together. Sponsored by a grant from the Petco Foundation, the festival is traveling across the country. You can find more information on the website, dogfilmfestival.com. This show is brought to you with the generous support of Halo, holistic, natural dog and cat foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. And their new grain-free recipes like Vigor give you even more healthy choices for your pet's dinner, while Daily Greens brings vitamins and digestive enzymes into your dog's diet. Halo is a private company partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they emphasize giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com for pets awaiting their forever homes. Dr. Donna, we have such a strange, but I guess not the rarest of rare topics today, C. difficile, and then all the other words I can't pronounce. I know about it in humans, but I had no idea this was a dog thing, so we better do a Dr. Donna Spector 101 on C. diff.
Yes, absolutely. So Clostridium difficile, more easily said C. diff,
right,
is, you know, obviously it is a bacteria, and it's found in the intestinal tract of people and many, many animal species. And that includes dogs, cats, farm animals, wildlife, you name it. It's all over everybody.
Okay.
Now, it is, you get in trouble with C. diff. So if, grossly enough, if you cultured any other random person walking around with no diarrhea, they would carry C. diff, many, many of them. I mean, it's in the population, you know, up to 30% of healthy people can carry it. When you get into trouble with C. diff is when you go into the hospital, you're in a nursing home, you are sick with other diseases, you have intestinal disease like Crohn's or irritable bowel, and the biggest one is you are administered antibiotics. So let's say you have pneumonia, and you are given an antibiotic to cure your pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's when C. diff says, oh, hey, I can overgrow now. And so the C. diff that's always there, not causing a problem, will overgrow and produce toxins. And it's the toxins that C. diff makes that make it so horrible and awful. You know, and the diarrhea can range from very mild up to fatal, you know, to severe, that will cause death. And that has been well documented in humans for sure. Now, kind of fast forward a little bit. So again, we know that C. diff is really common in elderly people, hospital inpatients, people who are receiving antibiotics for whatever, you know, bronchitis because you got the flu and then you got bronchitis. You know, I mean,
right.
People take antibiotics all the time. So obviously, most households, a lot of households have dogs. They have cats. And so, you know, when people have C. diff, and as much as we don't want to think about it, like, fecal contamination happens, you know, like, people don't always wash their hands as well as they should after they go to the bathroom. All of a sudden, there's stuff on the hands, and the dogs, as you know, lick faces, lick hands. Like, you know, so animals are often carry C. diff, and they often will pass it back and forth to the human and the, you know, and the dog.
And does that mean that we humans can also pass it to our dogs?
Yes.
All right, can we just back up on the hand-washing thing? Because my goddaughter said to me, she was taught by her mom, who was my godmother, Joan Rivers, that you're supposed to sing happy birthday. That's how long you should wash your hands. Oh, my God.
Twice, all the way through. That's what I taught my kids, too.
No one is doing that, okay? Your average person in the public bathroom, at best, runs their hand under a sprinkle of water. Hello, that's me. And if you're lucky, there's a piece of paper towel to wipe off what you have not actually taken care of. So we also know that using these Purell-type antibacterial things is supposedly not great because, I don't know, it kills too much of the good ones or something. What is the solution to this?
But C. diff also is not killed by an alcohol-based sanitizer.
Oh.
So that's another thing. Not every bacteria is sensitive to those, you know, the E. coli's and some of these.
Yes.
But I mean, it is disgusting to think about it, but like we have bacteria on us all the time. We are not washing hands the way we should after we prep food, after, you know,
yes,
anything. And by and large, our immune systems are fantastic, and they take care of everything we put in our eyes, nose, ears, mouth.
Yes, yes.
It's a constant invasion of our senses. But this C. diff, again, it's a problem when, you have an immune compromised or an elderly patient. Or now let's fast forward. How many therapy dogs are there, So, dogs that go in and visit nursing homes or go in and visit sick children in the hospital, and then they're out in their home environments, they're out in the lawn, they're out everywhere. I mean, they go to dog parks as well. So, I mean, this stuff is all over the place, and it's just dose. How much do you get exposed to? Do you have any other immune compromising condition? Are you an old person or dog? Is kind of dependent on, how likely you're going to be to get diarrhea associated with C. diff. Because you can have C. diff your whole life and never have a problem. But like the moment you take an antibiotic for something else, you can all of a sudden have diarrhea that you chalk up to, ooh, I just took antibiotics, they probably gave me diarrhea. But actually it could be an overgrowth of C. diff.
Wow. All right, we're going to take a quick break when we come back. This is something that sounded to me as like, oh, this exotic thing, C. diff. I've Tig Notaro wrote this very famous book called I'm Just a Person and TV show based on it. And she got C. diff after taking antibiotics after pneumonia. Just basically wasted away amongst other things. So we'll be right back after this break and talk a little more about C. diff and the passing of it between people and animals and not just how we deal with it and treat it, but how we could minimize the amount of exposure. We'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made with only whole meats, never any rendered meat meals like chicken meal or byproduct meal. Dogs love meat and cats are obligate carnivores, so optimum nutrition starts with meat that their bodies can best utilize. With responsibly sourced ingredients slow-cooked in small batches, independent tests have shown Halo foods are highly digestible so your pet's bodies can absorb the nutrients. When you feed your pet Halo food, at the same time you'll be nourishing less fortunate shelter pets because for every purchase you make, Halo gives a bowl of food to shelters. Support for this show also comes from VaxaCheck, a simple test done right in your vet's office to discover whether your dog or puppy is protected from the deadly core diseases or needs revaccination. If you are among the people concerned about over-vaccinating your pet, whether young or old, VaxaCheck can help you and your veterinarian make the best decision about vaccinating in your individual situation. Shelters can use VaxaCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones and avoid unnecessarily over-vaccinating dogs. VaxaCheck for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxaCheck for cats is coming soon. So, Dr. Donna, C. diff is in all of us have many bugs in us in a good way, right? And
yes,
our immune system's dealing,
yes,
with them. They even say we're all full of cancer and that our bodies are constantly,
yes,
removing cancer cells. So just to,
correct,
be clear, you're saying this C. diff, this intestinal, is it an intestinal bacteria? Is that where,
yes,
it lives?
It is.
Okay.
Yes.
So you take,
mm-hmm,
antibiotics. Probably many people take them too often. They don't take the full dose of them. But in any case, those antibiotics used to kill off the bad bugs kill off the good bugs too. At what point taking a probiotic, apparently you don't take it during the antibiotics, or do you? Or do you take,
right,
it immediately after? Do you take, you and your dog, do you take it for a month, a week? Would that be of any help to build back up the good bacteria that have been removed?
Yeah. So it's a fantastic question. And, and obviously there's been a lot of research done, particularly with this C. diff, but probiotics are not considered effective for a lot of these bacteria. And C. diff is one of them. Like, just going back on a probiotic is not going to help,
got it,
reestablish,
mm-hmm,
the amount of good flora or,
mm-hmm,
good bacteria that,
mm-hmm,
you need with a C. diff infection. I am a big proponent of probiotics. I mean, I think they have a lot of good uses and they help, keep a gut immune system healthy.
Yes.
But, and probiotics are one of the things we do reach for in the treatment of C. diff. But I'm gonna put something out there that's going to probably disgust, I would say, 100% of our listeners.
All right, folks, get ready.
Like,
you're going to be grossed out.
For like four months, and it's amazing. one of the most effective treatments for C. diff is the transplantation of fecal material, so a poop enema, essentially.
Yes.
Actually transplanting healthy poop from a healthy donor into a person or an animal with C. diff.
Now, I have read about it. Poop. We're all quiet because we're all going, ew, I'm going to take someone else's poo and they're going to put it up my hiney or my dog's hiney. Yes, it definitely has been researched and worked. Works. Mm-hmm. Now, you're saying you've done this for 4 months with your canine patients?
Canine patients. So now we're going to move on a little bit beyond C. diff because, you know, in dogs and cats, we treat a ton of intestinal disease, right? I mean, you know, I mean, the moment a dog has diarrhea of any cause, they're like racing into the clinic. You know,
yes.
My dog, we need to stop this diarrhea immediately. And it doesn't matter if the dog got into the garbage.
Right. They don't want diarrhea.
They don't want diarrhea. Or if he ate, you know, a foreign body, or he has C. diff, or he has lymphoma and he's on chemotherapy and he develops diarrhea.
Yes.
I mean, we have diarrhea of so many different causes in veterinary medicine, and it's an immediate crisis. You know, most people come in and want the solution. And by and large, for years and years and years, I mean, the years are innumerous. Generally speaking, we use a like GI friendly antibiotic. We've all heard it, metronidazole or Flagyl.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good anti-diarrheal antibiotic because what it does is it kills off the bad population of bacteria. Tylan is another one. You know, you've heard of Tylan. You've probably used Tylan in some, or Tylosin in some of your own dogs.
Right.
These kill off a lot of the anaerobes, the bad bacteria. They kill Clostridium. That's what they're killing is these bad bacteria.
So they kill the C. diff. They kill the C. diff.
Yes, and it allows, hopefully, some of the good bacteria to regrow. Well, these amazing studies, so when I always go to my annual meeting. Well, in June, when I went to my annual meeting, there are all sorts of studies, just study after study after study out of the Texas GI Lab and some of these other places that say dogs who take antibiotics, whether it's that metronidazole, the Tylosin, just even more than like 24 to 48 hours, if you're taking antibiotics, sometimes your gut bacteria never goes back
wow.
and returns to what it was. It never does. And so I think of like these puppies that get put on, you know, antibiotics for pneumonia, or they get put on antibiotics for a little bit of diarrhea. And then those dogs often, as they get older and older, like their poop is never quite normal. You know, they're just, they always struggle with like a little soft poop. And I'm like, we know that some of these dogs, I mean, the research was outstanding, how antibiotics, even used months or years ahead of time, they can screw you up for a long time. They can screw up your entire gut bacterial population so that it never becomes normal again. And, yeah, you live with it, and mostly you do fine. But, you know, throughout life when you take antibiotics for this or that, I mean, a lot of times it's really, really messing with the gut bacteria.
Okay, so before you go on to the next part of that thought, how many dogs are given doxycycline prophylactically, or just let's try it. Your dog seems lame. It could be Lyme's. We're going to give you doxy. Oh, doxy's like the cure-all and the be-all. Oh, just take it for 3 days.
Right.
Oh, it worked? Then you must take it for 3 months. Well, no one's going to take it for three months. But, I mean, is those what percentage of the population of dogs is on a massive amount of doxycycline for long periods? Does that have the same effect?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's disrupting. It's killing bacteria in the gut. So what these studies were looking at is, let's say you have a young, you know, let's just take Gabby, my own dog.
Yes.
She comes in, say she was out in the dog park, picked up something nasty while she has diarrhea. Instead of knee-jerk reaching for an antibiotic, what these studies are showing is that knee-jerk reach for a fecal transplant.
Oy, oy, oy. All right, we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to find out how this gross-sounding procedure works, and probably I actually know a lot of humans of various ages who have uncompromised diarrhea for years, and they're weak and they're unhappy and they can't travel or do anything. And my guess is, now from what I'm hearing, and all of them have had antibiotics at some point, that probably they are a candidate for fecal transplant too. We'll be right back. This show is made possible in part by Precious Cat Litter, owned by Dr. Elsie, who has his own cats-only clinic in Colorado. He has devoted his life to inventing innovative litters for the health of all members of the family, and now has broken new ground by creating a healthy, dry, and canned food for kitties called Clean Protein. Clean Protein was inspired by the protein levels found in a cat's natural prey, and 90% of the protein in the Clean Protein kibble and cans is animal-based. Not the plant-based ingredients in traditional dry cat food like grains, potato, vegetables, and fruits that are high in oxalate and lead to rapid metabolization, which actually increases your cat's hunger. The primary ingredients in Dr. Elsie's Clean Protein are the highest biological value proteins available, and the result is that your cat's appetite is satisfied longer without compromising her health. If you want to feed dry food to your cat, even as part of her diet, make the healthier choice. The proof is in the protein, Clean Protein. This show is also brought to you by Best Pet RX, a unique compounding pharmacy for pets in New York City. They can turn any medication for dogs and cats into a custom-flavored oral paste, chewable tablet, or a liquid that your pet will actually like. And Best Pet RX will keep trying formulations at no extra charge and offer same-day delivery in New York City and overnight delivery anywhere else so that your pet can happily take the medicine she needs to get well and stay well. All right, Dr. Donna, let's put the cherry on top of this sundae. So fecal transplant. We believe you that putting good poop up the bum of somebody whose body isn't working properly works because we know the science has shown it. What's involved? Where do you, for a human or for a dog, where do you get the good poop? It's not like giving somebody a kidney, right?
Right, exactly. So the good poop comes from, you know, there are certain guidelines. Any healthy dog or cat, this is done in cats as well, healthy dog or cat that ideally lives in a household environment because, you know, a lot of times dogs or cats live at the clinic, but the clinic has different sort of exposure. So ideally a dog or cat that lives in a household has not been on antibiotics a minimum of 6 months, but ideally never or at least years. The longer you can get away from it, the better. They've not been ill. They don't have any issues. And then you run, ideally, screening tests, you know, a fecal, obviously. Right. We want to make sure we're not transplanting hookworms or something.
Right.
a basic fecal. And then they can do what's called a fecal PCR test. It essentially makes sure they don't carry salmonella, clostridium, campylobacter, some of the big bads, you know, that could be transplanted. So you make sure that they're negative for those pathogens, and then you collect the poop, and you mix it in a 1-to-4 dilution. You mix one part poop with 4 parts saline. And then, I bought a blender from Walmart.
Stop it.
I popped it in there.
You have a poop blender? Oh, my God.
It's labeled very clearly. And then you just put it through a strainer to get out the biggest of the chunks. And ideally, then, in a patient who has been fasted, the recipient should be fasted overnight. I do give them a mild sedation. Okay. So that we can leave them so that they're relaxed for a good 45 minutes because retention time is key. If you just put it up there and they immediately poop it right back out. You know, dogs and cats, they feel something go up their bum. They're going to be like, ooh, I need to evacuate that.
Right.
So ideally a mild sedation so that they're chilled out, they're relaxed. And ideally for 45 minutes, you know, you place your catheter in there, you inject the poop solution, and it stays in there for 45 minutes, and boom, you're done.
Wow. And those dogs kitties, and in a certain amount of time, their guts are working just fine.
Right. And in dogs that I've used it in more and more are, and cats, you know those like young kitten diarrheas?
Young cats. Terrible.
A lot of them have probably been on antibiotics because they come from shelters with upper respiratories. They're on antibiotics, and then their poop is never normal, ever. And so I've used it in my most recent patient was a cat like that who had not had normal stool. It was a 2-year-old cat, had never had a normal stool. And after 2 fecal transplants has had normal poop now for over a month. We're using it in some of our IBD patients because, again, if you have inflammatory bowel disease, you have a disrupted bacterial population. So in addition to basic standard sort of treatments and diet, you know, we're using some of these fecal transplants and they're responding. They are responding. It is amazing to me. You know, I know that the research has shown that it is, but like in my patients who have been struggling with refractory signs, their diarrhea just doesn't go away, or on antibiotics, they're fine. And then they go off antibiotics. As soon as they go off their flagyl, they have diarrhea again. Now, instead of doing that, like chasing our tails and using antibiotics and then off and then on and then off and then on, we're using these fecal transplants. And the average patient, I would say, takes two to get, you know, the first one, there's really good improvement. But if you do two, sometimes three, you know, just a week or two apart, I mean, it's profound to me. It has changed the way I'm practicing.
I have to say, it's really cool that something that sounds very like medieval village, you know what I mean?
Right.
It goes back to olden times when this is the way things were done in a very naturalistic way. I'm sure they never, I don't know. I shouldn't say I'm sure of anything. Maybe they figured, the olden time folks figured this out. But it feels like getting far, far away from chemicals and medications and treatments, which the downside is at least equal to the upside. I think it's really cool. Just to finish up, is this something that one needs to see a sports specialized internist like yourself or some other kind of specialist? Or is this something that one's own vet can manage if they take the continuing education course or something?
Right. I mean, obviously, it is a technically extremely simple procedure.
It sounds
anyone who can buy a Walmart blender and you know, there's plenty of donor poop right in your own neighborhood.
Right.
But I will tell you, like many things, it is not mainstream at all. So if you walked into your regular vet and said, "Oh, hey, I heard about the fecal transplant business," they would probably look at you with cross-eyed. I mean, you know, it is again, and now that's my charge, is to help the education process to say, try it. What do you got to lose in these really chronic diarrhea patients that have been on five gazillion different diets? They're on all these medications. They're still diarrhea. Give it a whirl. Like, what do you have to lose? It's cheap.
It's cheap and simple, you know? and there's no danger. There's no downside. I will say that it would probably put a huge halo over those vets' heads, because for owners that are in and out of the clinic and dealing with this mess and worrying all the time about their dog and whether it's absorbing nutrients, you can come out looking like a real hero, right?
Right. So as you know, I write case reports up every month for continuing education, and the cat I just told you about is my most recent case report, just to try to disseminate information. I mean, that's what my job, I look at my job as a specialist, is to say, let's share the new knowledge that we have. You know, things will, of course, come down the pike that it's not going to be just like everything. It's not going to be a panacea. It's not going to treat everybody. It's not going to eliminate the need for all medications and drugs. But it just makes inherent good sense to me that if you've messed up a system with antibiotics or an illness or this or that, let's reestablish some normal good bacteria. I mean, it just makes good common sense.
Well, I think it's fantastic. I'm going to talk to my own vets about it. Luckily, I don't need it at the moment, but I have a couple of humans really suffering horrendously.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that they will follow the lead of Dr. Donna with dogs and cats and try it for humans. Dr. Donna, thanks as always so much. This has been gross, but so interesting. Take care.
Take care. We'll